The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
The chaos on planet Earth continues to accelerate by the day. But here's something to consider. Those in the power structure who pull the levers are masters of orchestrating very convincing dramas designed for maximum public distraction. Yes, the media demonization of Mr. Trump has convinced many that he is not a part of the carefully crafted script. But given the fact that we know those in power have long since controlled election results with the easily hacked paperless voting machines, why should any of us believe that Mr. Trump is anything other than just another convincing actor in the ongoing power structure produced drama? Consider that. This is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org, the weekly edition of Global Alert News. As always, there's far too many breaking stories to cover in this show, this one-hour commercial-free show paid for by GeoengineeringWatch.org, but I'll do my best. And it's up to all of us to investigate further and to investigate everything I say on this show. I never ask anyone to believe anything I say. I simply ask to investigate. This show is broadcast on KQMS throughout Northern California, Saturday morning, 6 to 7 a.m., broadcast on 1670 a.m., 104.9 FM, 105.7 FM. Recordings of this show can also be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the top stories, recent, and radio sections and on the KQMS archives. Also, this show is broadcast on the East Coast on the PRN radio network. There's a call-in podcast number that I know has not been updated for a while. I'm told that will be done now, so hopefully that's the case. The podcast number is 701-719-0991. You can call in from any phone and access any of the last five shows on your phone. Hopefully that'll be updated if it's not yet. Free information. If you live in Shasta County or near Orchard Nutrition, there are free commercial DVDs for an exceptionally powerful, well-documented film called Silent Epidemic, The Untold Story of Vaccination Dangers. Please take a copy, share it with your friends, help to expose what the medical industrial complex and mainstream media is not exposing. Also, there is information there from almost 3,000 architects and engineers from all over the world with incredibly hard-hitting data to make clear the official story on 9/11 is scientifically impossible. And there was a third building that collapsed that most people don't know, never got hit by anything, 47-story steel structure high-rise. Aren't you curious? Aren't you a little bit curious of how these buildings collapse, especially a third one that never got hit by anything? And we're not told, and most people don't even know there was a third building. If you're truly patriotic, don't you care? Find out. Investigate. Free material at Orchard. Also free climate engineering DVDs. Many menu items, multiple presentations, even from former government scientists, Union of Concerned Scientists. Don't you care what's going on in the skies above your head? Putting toxic materials into the air for climate engineering programs that come down through the air column to be inhaled by us, all of us. Again, Orchard Nutrition, grab free materials. Please put them to use. This is a big strain on our resources to provide these materials. We ask that you please make the most of them. Please put them to use. Later today at the Reading Library, from 3:30 to 5:30, hard-hitting documentary, free to the public, at the Reading Library in Shasta County, called Poison on Tap, about fluoride in our drinking water. And if you think that's safe, and if you believe the official narrative on that, and later in this broadcast, shortly, I will read a statement from a just-fired federal EPA scientist that's working directly with GeoengineeringWatch.org, who tried to bring the lethal fluoride issue to light, along with aluminum contamination connected to climate engineering. He was fired. I worked with him through the entire process as they set him up to be terminated because he tried to bring these stories to light. And that's what our system is designed to do, not to expose threats to the population, but to hide them. I will read in a few moments a statement from this just-fired EPA representative. Decide for yourself. At the Reading Library, again, at the Q&A for the film Poison on Tap, I will be there for the Q&A session after the film. Again, from 3:30 to 5:30 today. If you care about what you're drinking out of your tap, come find out what you don't know. There'll be other free materials there too, the climate engineering documentaries and vaccination documentaries. Please come, find out what you don't know. Pressing on, the law of the jungle has always been the bottom line for modern militarized, industrialized society, but has been carried out covertly and in the shadows. As the biosphere continues to collapse, the full brutality of the power structure and the order followers who serve them will be completely unleashed. It's coming. Back to Mr. Trump. Can anyone argue the fact that he is so polarizing and so divisive that he has most of the world looking now in every direction but the direction that most matters? Our planet's ability to support life is rapidly breaking down. And any criticism of Mr. Trump is somehow construed by some as an endorsement of Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton or anybody else. That is absolutely untrue. That's the sort of dichotomous thinking that our society has been trained to adopt and utilize. Because one person is criticized, that's not an endorsement of another. Hillary Clinton is a criminal. Bill Clinton is a criminal. The Bushes are criminals. We could go all the way back, the whole chain, they're all criminals. But I'm pointing out what we should think about with who is in this office now, today. And the fact is, the distractions from this new administration are so extreme that nobody's even paying attention to the fact that the planet's life support systems are failing by the day. I'll get to some headlines on that front soon. Headlines that anybody can verify. Don't ask anybody to believe me. But I ask this, don't such mass distractions play right into the hands of those in power? Those that are doing everything they can to hide the severity of what's unfolding from public view till the last possible moment. Though Mr. Trump has thrown a few bones out to the public by seeming to address, for example, the lethal vaccination issue, we'll see how far he gets with that, or if he follows through. He's also pushing to further inflate the already unimaginably massive U.S. military that's larger than the next 10 largest militaries combined. Is that rational? Is it? When the human race should be completely focused on salvaging the biosphere on which all life depends, instead, we're going to use our dwindling resources to make even more tanks, fighter jets, aircraft carriers, and of course the aircraft industries are building yet more jet tankers to expand the toxic climate engineering spraying in our skies to even more insane levels. Is there even a shred of reason in any of this? Moving on, the Trump travel ban is for protecting Americans, we are told, from 9/11 type events. Really? How many Americans have even bothered to investigate the glaringly obvious lie that is the official narrative on 9/11? And let's put this into context. The shadow government of this country orchestrates the largest false flag event in history, 9/11, uses it as an ongoing blanket license to invade, bomb, pillage, and plunder nations all over Eurasia, all over the world, just as Brzezinski's grand chessboard, as I've outlined in so many shows. Brzezinski, for those who don't know who he is, the advisor to presidents going all the way back to President Johnson, who laid out the plan for ways of justifying the toppling of nations like those that have recently been toppled, Libya, Iraq, and the rest, Syria ongoing now. There's more. I don't want to go into it all now. I don't have enough time. But I've been over this show after show. Just as General Wesley Clark confirmed only a week after 9/11, the same list of Eurasian countries named after 9/11, plan was already in place before 9/11. How did that happen? And now Trump takes charge and continues to propagate the official lies of 9/11 and issue a travel ban as if somehow these countries and these people were responsible for 9/11 when the official narrative on 9/11 is an absolute lie. And anybody who has the courage to look at the data will see that. Who would not be willing to look at what almost 3,000 architects and engineers from all over the world state, and whose sense of logic is not functional enough? When you see Building 7 collapse, and I challenge anybody to search that online, Building 7 collapsed. Watch that. Building that never got hit by anything on 9/11 collapsed in 7 seconds, free fall speed. Ask yourself how that could possibly happen from some furniture burning on the first floor. If our society can't see through that, we have no hope. No hope. Please investigate that. And in regard to all the U.S. invasions and occupations around the world, this should be remembered. The U.S. dollar is the basis of the empire, the element that allows the completely out-of-control power structure to do what it does. The dollar is not backed by gold, but rather by violence and the exponentially most massive military in the world. That's what backs our currency. Violence, intervention, the barrel of a gun. That's what backs our currency. If other nations had the same measures of power, they would likely behave in the same manner. But does that make the actions of our country okay? And the U.S. population would do well to remember this also. At this point, the U.S. population is not only expendable to those in power, but is actually an increasing liability. The constant spraying of our skies with toxic geoengineering materials is confirmation of this fact. The forced vaccinations are confirmation of this fact. If you still believe those in the highest levels of power care at all for you, your family, your health, or your life, your conclusions are not grounded in reality, because the facts do not support any such conclusion. In fact, quite the opposite. It's time to investigate and find out what's happening around you. Back to a statement given exclusively to geoengineeringwatch.org from a recently fired federal EPA employee, fired for trying to bring to light the fact that there was aluminum contamination that he states were from, quote, anthropogenic deposition of aluminum due to atmospheric geoengineering. Here we have an EPA employee trying to bring to light the fact that he was finding aluminum contamination that he directly connects to the ongoing climate engineering programs. And he's fired. He has been fired recently. Been working with him through this whole time while he was still employed. I'll read a full statement, or I'll post a full statement from this federal employee next week at geoengineeringwatch.org. You can read for yourself what he has to say with more detail. He was also fired for bringing one other issue to light: the dumping of fluoride into the drinking water systems that is literally in the form of an industrial toxic waste product. That's the form of fluoride. No form of fluoride is acceptable. But we're literally dumping industrial waste into the drinking water system of our population. And he was also fired for trying to bring that to light. Reprimanded, gag-ordered, and eventually fired for trying to bring this to light. So back to the documentary today at the Reading Library. If you choose to believe the official narrative about fluoride, about the toxic metals that are being injected with vaccination into our system, about what's going on in the skies above us, that our sense of reason should tell us something's going on. You can't have grid patterns in the sky one day and nothing the next. And people choose to believe whatever they're told. Just like 9/11, when we have Building 7 again coming down, as I described earlier. So many issues. People choose to believe the official narrative because that keeps them attached to the herd, what they perceive to be the majority herd, and that feels safe. Is it safe if the herd are all passengers on a ship that's sinking by the day? How safe are you? Isn't it better to take your head out of the sand and take a look around? So I'll read a full statement from this federal EPA employee, I will post a full statement next week on geoengineeringwatch.org, and you can decide for yourself. But again, fired for trying to bring aluminum contamination to light and bring to light the incredible dangers to human health, livestock, and so forth from fluoridated water, which the EPA gag ordered him, did everything they could to shut him up, and finally fired him. That's what these agencies are for, not to expose dangers to the public, but to hide them. So consider, with every breath each and every one of us takes, we're inhaling what the climate engineers are spraying into skies all over the globe, day in and day out. The highly toxic heavy metals and chemical particles cause extreme inflammation to the human respiratory system. These particles are also a platform for fungal proliferation. And this is why we now have a global epidemic of chronic respiratory ailments, such as chronic sinusitis, which cutting-edge institutions like the Mayo Clinic have made clear are fungally related. The climate engineering issue, again, with all the other issues we face and all the distractions that are being created by the new administration and the corporate media and so forth, to keep the public's eye off the fact that we're all being exposed to very lethal elements, the biosphere's imploding, fish die-offs all over the globe. I encourage everyone to simply search that. Search Animal Die-offs 2016. You'll find a site that covers this, or 2017. They cover every year, and it's staggering to look at it because every single day there's mass die-offs. We just had millions of fish wash up on the beach in Chile. We just had a shutdown of fisheries, which I'll get to in a moment, on the U.S. North American West Coast. This is happening by the day. Climate engineering is not the only causal factor, as many would like to believe, or Fukushima is not the only causal factor. There's an endless list of factors, all related to human activity. And consider that, mathematically speaking, for those who want to convince themselves that everything that happens on our planet is all part of some natural cycle, what's natural about what our species has done to this planet? Tell me what's natural about that. What's natural about building nuclear plants that contaminate the oceans, flying thousands of aircraft around the sky, even not considering climate engineering, but now let's add climate engineering to that, which makes it even more unnatural. Paving the planet, cutting down forests, poisoning the oceans, what's natural about any of that? And we're back to the argument, if, for those who try to think that the climate changes are natural or the die-offs are natural, it's no more natural than putting a gun to somebody's head, pulling the trigger, and claiming they died of a heart attack. That's not a very good argument. So I cover climate engineering a lot because it's so incredibly related to everything that's happening. Everything. Ocean die-off, the lack of human health, the destruction of the atmosphere, the ozone layer, and all of that's related to the desperation of those in power who are maneuvering militarily, now trying to push for some sort of global conflict by carrying on military operations, for example, right on Russia's border. What would we do? I say this week after week, but so many people, especially those who drive around with flags strapped to their cars and so forth, that never question the official narrative because they want it known that they are an obedient, order-following member of the herd. That's not courage. That's not courage at all. And what would we do? What would those people do with their flags that don't question anything? What would they do if Russia or China was carrying out military operations in Tijuana? I bring this up all the time. And that's happening right now. So as the biosphere implodes, climate engineering, sickening the population, masking the severity of climate damage, and keeping the population pacified until the last possible moment, but also getting sicker. Because as I just stated, we're breathing this in, fungal infections going off the charts, and we have back to the military, or excuse me, the medical industrial complex treating the ENTs, the ear, nose, throat physicians, and other physicians, treating fungal infections with antibiotics, which is exactly the wrong treatment. You don't treat fungal infections with antibiotics, which simply kill off more of your beneficial microbes, which makes the fungal infections proliferate even more. We have the same thing happening in the environment because these toxic metals and chemicals draining into the entire biosphere are killing beneficial microbes from the clouds to the ground. We have fungal infections infiltrating everything. Trees, everything else, the entire web of life. So when we see a species extinction rate, that's, as I've stated so many times, approaching 300 a day of plant, animal, and insect, the majority of those extinctions are fungally related. All of these dots connect. So, as I stated, how off base are most mainstream Western medical physicians who are prescribing antibiotics for chronic respiratory infections in patients who actually have fungal infections, as I stated, with which antibiotics, of course, make worse, not better. And is it any wonder why every other commercial on television is for colds, flu, excess mucus, asthma, allergies, etc.? Go outside on a still night after a day of the blatantly obvious jet aircraft dispersions of climate engineering materials. Take an extremely bright flashlight, aim it to the sky, and see what you see. It looks like it's snowing. Mountains of materials are settling down through the air column for all of us to suck in with every breath. Yes, there's always some particulates in the air column. But on the types of days I just described, there are 10 times more. And these particles are extremely toxic. And how can I say this with certainty? Because we've done dozens of lab tests at the state-certified lab to prove what these particles are. The tests include identification of what is in our rain. Dust tests also we have done by measuring what settles out on a 2x2 sheet of glass that is placed facing skyward for 24 hours in a filtered, forested location with no blowing dust, roads, industry, etc. So there's the bottom line. It doesn't matter whether or not you believe you're inhaling these toxic climate engineering elements like aluminum, barium, polymers, etc. You are. You are inhaling them. All of these elements are bioaccumulative and building up in our body. Shouldn't that make that a priority? With all the other challenges we face, all the distractions that are being created and propagated by the media, the new administration, and ultimately the power structure which is behind it all, if we can't breathe without absorbing these materials, we're getting sicker by the day, less neurologically functional, cognitively functional by the day, our biosphere is being destroyed, shouldn't that be a priority? I would say yes. Let's get to some headlines from this last week. I mentioned about biosphere implosion. Here's a headline to further back that up. Quote, U.S. Commerce Secretary Pritzker declares fisheries disasters for 9 West Coast species due to, quote, unusual ocean and climate conditions. It's easy to call it unusual and not mention the geoengineering elephant in the room, isn't it? And it's, again, it's not just geoengineering harming the climate. It's all forms of human activity that affect the energy balance, but the most destructive and most insane of all, of course, climate engineering. From one of these reports, January 18th, Pritzker declares fisheries disaster. Secretary of Commerce has determined there are commercial fishery failures for 9 salmon and crab fisheries in Alaska, California, and Washington. These fisheries experienced sudden and unexpected collapses in fish stock biomass or loss of access due to unusual ocean and climate conditions. From another source, the Alaska Journal of Commerce, quote, the pink salmon catch sank to dismal lows in 2016. Pink salmon harvest came in woefully under forecast and stumped biologists. It stumps biologists because they are not allowed to acknowledge or account for the true severity of what's happening, and certainly not the climate engineering element, which is toxifying water, shredding the ozone layer. Shredded ozone layer kills plankton. The bottom line for life on Earth is plankton. So the forager fish don't have anything to eat, so up the food chain there's nothing to eat. It all starts to collapse. And again, there's other causes as well. We have the U.S. Navy using depleted uranium ammunition for practice all along the North American West Coast. I know this because I spoke to the Navy's PR person myself, as I stated in previous shows, who didn't seem to know why I was concerned that the U.S. Navy was using depleted uranium for practice in our oceans. But this is the level of insanity we have. No regard for the consequences of our actions as a species. And that's, by the way, a fundamental thread in psychopathic behavior, as I've stated over and over. A lack of regard of the consequences of their actions, even to themselves. That's the description of a psychopathic person. So here we are as a species behaving in this manner. So all these forms of human activity are causing cataclysmic collapse of Earth's biosystems, and we have the headlines here to prove it from multiple sources. Let me get to a couple other sources. Spokesman Review, another source. The region's fishing communities have suffered through several years of very low catches. The past few years, our salmon runs have been hit hard and dropped to alarmingly low levels, said Congressman Derek Kilmer. Another source, Alaska Dispatch News. after a pitiful return of pink salmon to much of Alaska, last summer, federal disaster declaration was officially announced. Collapse. I've said this over and over. Not just for the 18-month run of this show in Northern California, but for over a decade that this was coming. And we have how many people who are trained to deny everything? How much aggressive denial have we heard from how many people that say, it's not true, I went to the ocean, it looked fine. What does that tell you? You went to the ocean, you saw a few waves, and everything looked fine? Does that really tell you anything? Denial is epidemic in our society, but that denial won't save us. Let me get to another source. Governor Jay Inslee's request, I respectfully request that you declare commercial fishery failure due to a fishery resource disaster in Washington state. This request is based upon the failure of coho salmon runs returning to Washington state in 2016. Coho salmon returns to Washington watershed in 2015 were also very low due to poor survival during the time these fish spent in marine waters off coastal Washington in the Pacific Oceans. Again and again and again. One final source, U.S. Department of Commerce. Your request relates to the impacts of the 2016 ocean salmon troll fishery as a result of failure of coho salmon again returning to Washington state. Unusual environmental conditions in the Pacific Ocean that have led to the poor survival and growth of coho salmon. When we have an atrocity happening in our skies, a literal attempt to play God with the weather, aside from everything else, aside from the nuclear plants in Washington, which I covered, the downstream fallout from that, we have Fukushima, we have the Navy using depleted uranium ammunition, which has a radioactive half-life of 4.5 billion years, by the way, billion with a B, not going away anytime soon. We're destroying our ability to survive on this planet, period. Let's go to a different side of the world. Here's a headline. Bay of Bengal, depleted fish stocks and huge dead zone signal tipping point. From that report, long treated as a bottomless resource pit, overexploitation of the ocean, pollution, and rising sea levels are having a catastrophic impact on life in the bay. A lot of people depend on that particular source of fish, and we are going to see mass migration and mass die-off soon. It can't not happen. At the point when nobody can throw any rescue rope to anybody else because everybody's trying to keep their head above the waterline, so to speak, that's where it becomes very interesting. And we are very close to that point, and our government is doing everything they can to hide that from the population, not to make it better, not to deal with the situation, but to hide it. That's what climate engineering, again, is all about. So we had the Boston snows on the East Coast in 2014, 2015, all the headlines that convinced everybody that was frying on the West Coast that, well, it must be okay because they're cold somewhere. And now we have a reverse of that. We have moisture being fire hosed in from the West Coast, chemically nucleated. That's why it snows at 40 and 45 degrees. Doesn't anybody question that anymore? Why is it snowing at those high temperatures? And yes, the temperatures eventually cool down. But for example, they're making an example out of Portland this year, the ice storms in Portland. So everybody thinks it must be very cold, even though it's record warm temperatures elsewhere in the country. Weather whack-a-mole, weather whiplash, all connected to highly toxic, unimaginably destructive climate engineering, which is connected to the government's attempt to hide the severity of what's happening from the population till the last moment, while they're maneuvering toward World War III, because that's the last card they have to play. Another headline that should come as no surprise given everything we've covered so far. Quote, here's the headline. Government tried to bury its own alarming report on climate change. For those who think that the governments are pushing some severe, they've tried to convince themselves that they're pushing a severe conclusion on the state of the climate, that conclusion doesn't hold water. We see a cover-up. Not an exaggeration, but a cover-up of the climate severity. We see climate scientists being laid off, fired, from the ozone teams to Australian scientists to every other Western nation. They're trying to fire, lay off, cover up. What did Trump do when he just came into office? Tried to pretend there's nothing wrong with the climate. And I don't care what your political beliefs are. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. If you have convinced yourself that the unimaginably destructive human activity on this planet has had no effect whatsoever, you're not being rational. You're not looking through a clear lens. If you can possibly think that cutting down over half Earth's trees and the putting of 100 million tons of CO2 in the atmosphere a day, climate engineering, poisoning the oceans, depleted uranium ammunition, war, all that goes along with war and the environmental destruction with that, the depletion of Earth's natural support, life support systems, if you think all that would have no effect, you're not living in reality. Let's get to this report. Government tried to bury its own alarming report on climate change. The government has been accused of trying to bury a major... this is from the UK, by the way. The government has been accused of trying to bury a major report about the potential dangers of global warming to Britain, including the doubling of the deaths during heat waves, quote, a significant risk to supplies of food, back to what some of what I said earlier, and the prospect of infrastructure damage from flooding. Report continues, the UK Climate Change Risk Assessment Report, which by law has to be produced every 5 years, was published with little fanfare on the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs website on the 18th of January. But despite its undoubted importance, Environmental Secretary Andre Leadsom made no speech and did not issue her own statement. And even the DEFRA, this is the environmental organization there in Britain, account was silent. No mainstream media organization covered the report. If you think they're trying to broadcast the damage that's done to the Earth's life support system and not cover it up, you're wrong. You're not looking at credible data. You're looking at sensationalized headlines from people who are invested in making you think the opposite. Use your sense of reason. We have governments trying to hide threats, just like the EPA person I mentioned earlier, hide the threat from the population. That's their job. Report continues. One leading climate expert accused the government of, quote, trying to sneak it out, this report, without people noticing, saying he was, quote, astonished at the way its publication was handled. In the report, the government admitted there were a number of urgent priorities that needed to be addressed. And this report, by the way, will dovetail into something, other reports I'm going to get at in a moment. Continuing, the government also recognized that the climate change scenario will present significant risk to the availability and supply of food in the UK. The report said partly because of extreme weather in some of the world's main food-growing regions. Now, let's remember, for all those in the environmental communities, the climate science communities, how can we possibly have any legitimate discussion about the climate without acknowledging the climate engineering, weather warfare, biological warfare assault that is at an unimaginable scale going on in skies all over the globe? And here's the answer. You can't. You can't have a legitimate conversation about the climate without including climate engineering and the unimaginable destruction that climate engineering is causing. And these toxic materials are sterilizing soils, causing fungal proliferation to explode everywhere, which also affects crops. They're affecting the hydrological cycle. So on top of all the damage the human race has done to the planet so far, the single greatest factor, most destructive factor, is climate engineering. And it's not acknowledged by anyone in the science communities, any of the environmental groups, because ultimately their paychecks and pensions depend on them not acknowledging the climate engineering elephant in the room. That's why we have gag orders. Gag order on this EPA representative that I mentioned earlier that's fired. He had a gag order placed on him first. As I've stated so many times, there are existing gag orders on all National Weather Service and all NOAA employees. And how can the government get away with all this massive deception? You hear so many people say they couldn't do this on that scale because somebody would know or speak out. The vast majority of the population doesn't seem to care yet, but they will. All they want is someone to tell them it's okay. So they can see buildings collapse in front of their face. They can see inarguable climate engineering going on in the skies above their heads, and they ignore it all because it feels better to ignore it all, at least for a little while, until you hit the wall. And the wall is very close, by the way. And the sooner we wake up and face reality, the more we might be able to alter what's coming. But that effort will take all of us. Final statements from this report. The report also said that the public water supply could be affected by shortages. We know that from the climate engineered induced droughts that are happening all over the globe. Encourage anybody to search geoengineering produces drought or causes drought. You'll find mountains of data and information for those who care to find out what the truth is and not to just simply blindly swallow the official narrative. continuing from the report, and the natural environment could be degraded. Could be? That's like saying if you leap off a cliff, you might get hurt. We live in an absurd society, and academia is behaving as complete cowards, and not disclosing climate engineering is the epitome of that cowardice. Another headline from this week, from the Pentagon, quote, Arctic melt requires updated U.S. strategy. How many people still think that the Arctic ice is expanding because they saw a headline, it feels good, we all hate Al Gore, so let's swallow the biggest possible lie we could. Do some real research, watch the film Chasing Ice, and you can see with your own eyes. If you don't believe your own eyes, there's nothing I can tell you. Very unpolitical film, frontline footage of ice melting all over the globe. Sea levels don't rise because ice is expanding. They melt, they rise because ice is melting. Temperatures are off the scale, and last Christmas and the Christmas before, it was about 40 degrees and raining at the North Pole. It was, in some cases, much, much colder in the lower 48. In fact, in some cases, 50 to 60 degrees colder in the lower 48 than at the North Pole. We don't see that because our media doesn't tell us about it. Continuing from this report, U.S. President Donald Trump jokes it's a hoax, but his military top brass begs to differ. An updated U.S. military strategy for the Arctic says, quote, diminishing ice levels due to rapidly warming temperatures pose a series of national security risks to the country. Look it up. Don't believe me. Look up top U.S. military officials consider disintegrating climate or climate change the greatest national security threat of all. At the same time, they're contributing to the disintegrating climate by their climate engineering programs. And you must consider, if the U.S. military top brass considers a disintegrating climate the top national security threat, do you think that they would ask your permission to engage in climate engineering? Do you really think that? Did they ask our permission to blow islands up in the South Pacific while they were detonating over 2,000 nuclear bombs all over the world? Or detonating bombs in Nevada where the fallout killed who knows how many people downwind? They don't ask our permission. And they engaged in this 70 years ago. So when the climate scientists, who are unimaginably deceitful to the American population at this point, the whole world population, have betrayed the population by pretending that climate engineering is not gone on yet, and I published a huge exchange with some climate scientists from one of the key sources of climate disinformation, Carnegie Science. And you can look at the emails yourself. You can look at the videos of these climate scientists yourself posted on geoengineeringwatch.org. And you decide if they're telling the truth when they pretend that climate engineering isn't already going on and hasn't been going on for 70 years. And they continue then to pretend that it's okay if we destroy the biosphere because we can then climate engineer and that will save us. Well, guess what? The climate engineering card was played 70 years ago. And not only has it not mitigated the disintegrating climate, it's made it worse, far worse overall, destroyed the atmosphere and poisoned every single one of us with toxic materials. There is no more cards to play. And yet we have the entire climate science community betraying the population for a paycheck and a pension while they pretend that climate engineering isn't going on in skies above our heads. Use your sense of reason. Another headline. Climate change will fuel an unimaginable refugee crisis, military analyst reports. They know it's coming, but people in America don't know so much because the shelves in Costco are full all the time. Consume, consume, consume. There seems to be an endless supply. Nobody even questions, where is all this coming from? How come people in other countries are starving to death, quite literally? But as long as the power structure can pacify the American population, the heavily armed American population, as long as they can pacify them as long as possible, that's what they're trying to do. And climate engineering is a part of that from many directions. From this report, expect climate change to open the floodgates of migration. Mass migration will become the new normal as climates are disrupted across the world with global warming, thus posing a clear and present security threat. Military installations are also being flooded by sea level rise. It's happening right now in the Weather Channel. Because they can't hide it anymore, is finally starting to cover some of this. Final sentence from that report. That's why many generals have recently said, warning that climate change sets the stage for unimaginable refugee crises. Another report here on sea level rise. And no, Miami's not sinking. Land around the globe is not sinking. Sea levels are rising. When ice melts, it flows somewhere, and it has to have an effect, doesn't it? Let's look at reality. Another headline, Miami Beach to begin new multi-million dollar flood prevention project in face of sea level rise. Let's put a figure on that. $400 to $500 million. $400 to $500 million. The city will embark on a project to raise roads, install pumps and water mains, and redo sewer connections during the next 2 years across a swath of single-family homes in the Lagorse and Lakeview neighborhoods of Mid-Beach. A sizable chunk of the citywide effort, estimated to cost $400 million to $500 million. The work is meant to keep streets dry in the face of sea level rise. What a futile effort. What an incredibly futile effort. When we're talking about a foot of sea level rise can cause this kind of damage, and where was academia during all this? Didn't if we could really trust our climate scientists, would they build so many massive habitations right at sea level, knowing that there is about 240 feet of sea level rise inevitable if all the ice melts, and only 1 foot can cause this kind of damage? How long can Miami stay ahead of this? It's like trying to stop a tidal wave with a Dixie cup. Does that work? This is futile, total futility by people who do not want to face reality. And about WeatherMod, again, how many people deny weather modification? I want to read something from North American Weather Consultants, a company that's been in existence since 1950. North American Weather Consultants Incorporated in 1950 specializes in providing weather modifications. So we have all these private companies modifying weather all over the globe, but we have a population that believes the official media and disinformation sources when they are told, no, your government would never do that without asking your permission. How completely absurd is that notion? That the biggest source of aircraft in the world and military power are not going to engage in climate engineering when historical record shows that they've been doing it for 70 plus years? We have private companies advertising. Here's what they advertise, what they can do. Snowfall and rainfall augmentation, fog seeding and fog dissipation. They can create fog or dissipate fog. So again, only as an example, the North American Weather Consultants, look it up online, see what they can do and how long they've been in business, 66 years. We don't think our military was maybe just a little bit ahead of these people. Of course they were. So this company can create snow or create rainfall, create fog or dissipate fog. If you don't think our military is doing this, when we can see them above our heads, and it's other countries around the globe as well, and they're all colluding on the climate engineering process because there's cross-border ramifications. The Senate document we posted at geoengineeringwatch.org, 750 pages long, outlines this. You can find this by searching Senate document geoengineering. Learn for yourself if you care about what's happening in the skies above your heads. Dakota protest goes on as we see Mr. Trump, representing who he represents, completely overturn that, what, first day in office? Because he's invested in that project? Is that not a conflict of interest of a glaring size? This whole scenario, again, if we don't think it's an orchestrated scenario, this massive division and distraction that's going on to completely distract the population from the fact that the biosphere is imploding, it's all part of the plan. That's what it appears like to me. Another headline, Donald Trump's first U.S. military raid kills 30 civilians, including 10 women and children. Of course, Trump has a very long way to go to catch up to what Obama killed, the innocents he killed, or the innocents that Clinton killed in his reign. It goes all the way back, so they're all criminal. They've all behaved criminally, but this is a travesty that has just occurred. And I saw on CNN where they tried to claim this was all worth it. Was it worth it to the families of those 30 civilians? Was it worth it? And why are we in that country anyway? Why are we funding Saudi Arabia to destroy that country from the top down? Why don't we hear about the atrocities there, the illegal weapons like cluster bombs used there, phosphorus used there, weapons supplied by our country? Let's get to some of that underlying reason. Here's a headline from the last week. U.S. has killed more than 20 million people in 37 victim nations since World War II. Unpleasant truth, isn't it? And I know it's not popular when I tell that truth because so many people simply want to believe that we're good, everyone else is bad, and that's the way it is. That's not the way it is. That's not reality. Our country has tried to defend the dollar as the global reserve currency since the end of World War II, period, because that's what has kept those in power in power. We have private bankers running our country. What's patriotic about that? Can anyone answer that? What's patriotic about allowing private bankers to run your country, to run your military, and to do anything anywhere in the world that they feel they need to do to keep their power? How is that patriotic? It's not patriotic. From this report, this study reveals that the U.S. military forces were directly responsible for 10 to 15 million deaths during the Korean and Vietnam Wars. We were in other people's countries. Again, does anybody think the Vietnam War was justified, knowing all that we know now? And the two Iraq Wars, also built on a lie. The non-existent Saddam WND weapons in Vietnam. We had the completely orchestrated false flag Gulf of Tonkin event. Continuing from the report, the Korean War also includes Chinese deaths, while the Vietnam War includes fatalities in Cambodia and Laos. The American public is not aware of these numbers and knows even less about the proxy wars for which the United States is also responsible. In the later wars, there were between 9 and 14 million deaths in Afghanistan, Angola, Democratic Republic of the Congo, East Timor, Guatemala, Indonesia, Pakistan, and Sudan. But the victims are not just from big nations or one part of the world. The remaining deaths were in smaller nations, which constitute over half the total number of nations. Virtually all parts of the world have been targeted, a target of U.S. intervention. What does that mean, intervention for U.S. interests? Back to everything I said in this show, U.S. interests. The protection of the dollar as the global reserve currency, which means the private bankers can print all they want, which means they can expand the military and enforce that currency at the barrel of a gun. That's what it's about. And that all plugs into pacifying the American population with fully stocked shelves in their stores so that they don't know what's going on until the last possible minute. Final statements from this report. The overall conclusion reached is that the United States has been responsible since World War II for the deaths of between 20 and 30 million people in wars and conflicts scattered all over the world. To the families and friends of these victims, it makes little difference whether the causes were U.S. military action, proxy military forces, the provision of U.S. military supplies or advisors, or other ways, such as economic pressures applied by our nation. They had to make the decisions about other things, such as finding lost loved ones, or whether to become refugees and how to survive. I'm not saying other nations are benevolent, and we're back to the dichotomous thinking that many people want to believe. That if someone criticizes the U.S., they must love Russia or love China or Iran. That's not the case. I'm simply saying, how can we criticize our neighbor for the splinter in their eye if we have a log in our eye? Does anyone know that scripture? How many people going to how many spiritual institutions are going about their life doing nothing to learn about what's going on the bigger picture, what their country is doing in their name, let alone to do anything about it? Is that the kind of spirituality that's taught in our spiritual institutions now? To just pretend that you're right and not look for facts, not investigate anything, not play your part for the common good? Doesn't sound very spiritually benevolent to me if that's what's being taught. And I know, as I've stated before, about the institutions here in Reading. I've been into, I think, every single one, spoke to pastors or officials in every one, and I haven't heard any of them bring up the climate engineering issue. In fact, I've had them over and over say, I don't need to worry about it. It's all in bigger hands. That's not what Scripture teaches, by the way. I know that. I spent a great deal of time studying the major spiritual traditions. None of them teach us to sit down and do nothing in the face of incredible injustice and decimation to the biosphere. None of them teach that. And if that's what your pastor in your institution is teaching, it's up to you to hold them accountable. And the same with the environmental groups. Environmental groups who allow their institutions, environmental institutions, to ignore the climate engineering issue. Total hypocrisy. Total hypocrisy. And I'm talking about Greenpeace, Sierra Club. We have local Sierra Club people in Northern California. And the last time I saw the Sierra Club leader, he turned his face and walked away from me because he had no credible response to the fact that he has done nothing to even expose the climate engineering issue, the single greatest environmentally destructive issue of our time. Nothing to expose it, nothing to address it. Why? Because like many in the spiritual institutions, he's worried about his 501c3 nonprofit. How hypocritical can it get? One last word on Fukushima, by the way. Here's a headline from the Japan Times. Nuclear fuel debris possibly found below reactor at Fukushima, number one. Black lumps that could be melted nuclear fuel are visible at the bottom of the reactor. Number two's containment vessel at the Fukushima power plant also. TEPCO on Monday found what may be melted nuclear fuel debris inside reactor two at the Fukushima plant. Is this a surprise? They knew this from the get-go. They knew it from the beginning. Japanese government, our government, knew that those reactors were in full-blown meltdown. Three nuclear volcanoes with no end in sight, and that's just the beginning. And we're building more of these plants and putting formerly mothballed plants back online. And we have no technology to fix this. None. And people in the U.S. believe that it's all okay. Well, here's a report from another source that was released this week. Experts: U.S. hit with sudden spikes of rare radioactive material from Fukushima. Again, U.S. hit with sudden spikes of rare radioactive material from Fukushima has a 15.7 million year half-life and, quote, an orders of magnitude rise in levels of radiation on the West Coast, much higher amounts than we detected near Fukushima just after the event occurred. It blows across the ocean, and guess where it lands? And people in the U.S. think they're safe. They think Fukushima's over. It's just beginning. It's just beginning. Let's get to the bottom line. Here's a headline. We didn't see our media cover it locally because their job is not to cover it. Doomsday clock moved closer to midnight. This is a headline from the last week. From that report, scientists have moved the minute hand of the symbolic doomsday clock 30 seconds closer to midnight for the first time. Leading scientists, who are the clock's keepers, say the world has edged closer to apocalypse in the past year amid darkening security landscapes and new decisions made by the new administration and environmental implosion. The clock now says the world is 2.5 minutes from apocalypse. Consider this, an equation I've given before. The human race has done what it's done. If you put the entire timeline of the Earth over the time frame of a week, 4.5 billion years equaling a week, we've done what we've done in 1/40th of a second before midnight on the last day. We've done the damage we've done to the planet on 1/40th of a second before midnight on the last day if you overlaid 4.5 billion years over the time frame of a week. This will not continue. Many people ask me, how long do we have? And of course, I can't know the answer to this question. But what I can say in my reply to them is this: our collective future is a result of our collective actions, what we choose to do or not to do. No matter how dark the horizon, we all have a responsibility to face it, to do our part, to make a difference for the better. No matter what our individual circumstances, we all have a part to play in this drama. All of us matter. We can all make a difference to a much greater degree than we may tell ourselves, certainly to a much greater degree than those in power would have us believe. They want us to believe we are helpless. We are not. What are your priorities? Exposing and halting the greatest assault of all against the entire web of life should rationally be our top priority. That assault is climate engineering, and it's by no means the only challenge we face. There is a long list of challenges ahead of us, but mathematically speaking, the single greatest and most immediate threat we face is climate engineering. If we could expose that, everything else would come to the surface. We would galvanize populations all over the globe in a common cause, knowing what those in power have done to them and done to the planet without their knowledge or consent. That should be our top priority. And if we can accomplish this, if we can expose and stop climate engineering, then we can face the long list of other challenges that the human race needs to deal with if life on Earth is to continue. Consider this: the highest mountain can only be climbed by a consistent succession of individual steps forward. What steps will you take in the battle for the greater good on this day. Until next week, this is Dane Wigginton with GeoengineeringWatch.org.